Good evening. Thursday night in Lansing. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Emily Scarlett. On today's program, a man in Kent County tells police that he purposely infected potentially hundreds of people with the AIDS virus. I'll talk to an official at the Kent County Health Department about that. And seniors in Michigan about to face a pension tax starting next month. I'll talk to an official at the Michigan AARP to find out what that's going to mean to them. But first, well, the Iowa caucuses kick off next week, but does the outcome really tell us anything about who's going to be the likely Republican presidential candidate and who really has a legitimate shot at this point? To find out, I'm joined by Matt Grossman. He's an MSU assistant professor of political science and the director of the Michigan Policy Network. Matt, welcome to the program.
Hi.
So how exactly does the Iowa caucus work? How many people are usually involved? And is there anything official about the results?
Well, the strange thing is officially all that's going on is people are electing delegates to their party county, county convention, and then they'll meet again and elect delegates to the state convention, and they'll meet again to elect delegates to the national convention, who will finally have some role in electing the president. So officially, it's just the start to a three-round process, and it doesn't usually, at the end of the third round, look anything like what happens on caucus day. So officially, it's not much. It matters more because it's a media event, and it's taken as by the candidates as an indication of how they are likely to do in other states, and it matters for whether candidates stay in the race or not, whether they get media attention, and how their fundraising goes in the states that follow.
Yeah, Iowa's also known for its straw poll. In this situation, though, the ballots are cast then?
In the Republican caucuses, they work a little bit differently than the Democratic caucuses. There actually is something that looks more like a traditional vote, where you just are able to just indicate a candidate preference, and you don't usually even have to stay for the full meeting. Whereas in the Democratic caucuses, they actually have to go to various corners of the room, hear various speeches, and then if their candidate doesn't do well enough, they have to pick a second preference. So the Democratic caucuses are more complicated than the Republican ones. And for the Republican ones, essentially, they can just go in and cast a vote, but usually the only people who are attending are people willing to go for an hour and a half to a meeting about party affairs, and that tends to be a small subset of the population. So we're, you know, expecting only about 4% of Iowans to participate in the caucuses.
Has the Iowa caucus results historically given any indication of who the nominee ends up being?
Well, I mean, the first thing that is important is that several candidates typically drop out following Iowa or following Iowa and New Hampshire. So in that sense, it helps to determine the result by narrowing the field. But in terms of the winner of Iowa going on to win the nomination, it's a mixed record, and I would say it's not a very strong prediction, because when it's right, there's usually a lot of indications pointing in that same direction.
So Ron Paul apparently is the favorite to win next Tuesday's caucuses. What does that say about how out of step the Iowa caucuses are with Republican voters nationwide?
Well, I mean, the first thing to say is just that the minor candidates nationally do all tend to do better in Iowa because they can concentrate their resources there. And so there's sort of a real campaign, and the voters have heard of all these other candidates that most people in the country haven't yet heard much about. And the caucus process is going to advantage a candidate like Ron Paul, who doesn't have many supporters, but people who do support him much more faithfully and strongly than the other candidates. So that's gonna help him. But you know, obviously, it's gonna be it will be quite interesting if, you know, if a candidate that's in favor of drug legalization and pulling all of our troops out of Korea, Germany, and other bases ends up winning the caucuses. On the other hand, I think it says something, I guess, positive about American democracy, that the views are that there's a range of views being expressed, and people are getting a real choice over who they want to be president.
I'm talking to Matt Grossman, MSU Assistant Professor of Political Science and the Director of the Michigan Policy Network. So what about Mitt Romney? Some say he is the inevitable candidate. Is there any reason not to think that way?
Oh, I certainly is the odds-on favorite to be the nominee, and he's the best positioned to compete against President Obama in the general election. So, you know, and he really hasn't, other than Mitt Romney, the field of candidates probably isn't quite as strong as it has been in some previous years. So I think there seemed to be a number of candidates who were sort of assuming that that Romney would end up winning the nomination.
And what do you make of this continuous change in the person that's leading, apparently, the race in the Republican presidential race? Do you think these polls were accurate and have been accurate, that there is that much of a indecisiveness out there?
Well, I mean, the traditional way that people decide who they want to support is relying on cues like partisanship and ideology, and on those cues, most of the candidates are quite similar. So there's a lot of people who I think would be happy, a lot of Republican primary voters who would be happy with a lot of different candidates, and what they're just trying to figure out is which candidate is capable of winning the election. So that's why I think it makes sense that, you know, once a candidate starts rising, they would generate support from others, and once it looks like they're losing support, that trend would continue. So I think that's why you see that up and down motion, is basically there are voters who are more conservative than Mitt Romney who want a more conservative candidate, and they have been trying each one by one and discovering some things that they don't like about the candidate once the candidate starts to generate scrutiny.
Well, now Newt Gingrich is apparently at the top or right there next to Mitt Romney. He's got this well-known and controversial career in politics. Do you think he's carrying too much baggage to be an effective candidate against President Obama?
Well, I mean, I think the more basic issue is that, you know, once he went at the point that he was rising in the polls, people didn't sort of know a whole lot about him, and so once they started learning things, they're always going to start to learn some negative things about him, and especially when there's a whole bunch of negative advertising being run in Iowa, that's good negative advertising in the sense that it's saying things that relate to real voters' concerns about Newt Gingrich, both his record as speaker, his personal life, his changing positions on issues. So, you know, sort of all those are kind of typical fair game political issues that once voters start hearing a lot about them, they tend to move away from those candidates.
So now both Rick Perry and Newt Gingrich will apparently not appear on Virginia's primary ballot. Is that a death blow to their campaigns?
Well, I mean, I think that it's certainly an indication of lack of strong organization. I think Paul and Romney are the only ones that are appearing on it at the moment. You know, it takes, I think, 10,000 signatures, so it's, you know, not an insurmountable effort, but it takes an organization or the money to devote to it. So it's an indication of something. But of course, you don't have to win Virginia to win the primary. So it's only important to the extent that the candidates take it as an indication that they won't be able to compete moving forward.
And in terms of the candidates that will likely disappear after the Iowa caucus, do you expect that then to be what, Rick Santorum, Michelle Bachmann? I mean, could we see even Rick Perry go away?
I mean, I think it depends on the results in Iowa, and, you know, New Hampshire only being a week later kind of gives them time to sort of give themselves a second chance if they want to take their time. But, you know, presumably Michelle Bachmann, Rick Santorum, and Rick Perry are spending all of their time and resources in Iowa. So if they don't end up doing well, then you know, any one of them or several of them may drop out. Seems like Gingrich has committed to staying until South Carolina, but I don't know, you know, if he suffered a disastrous fall, maybe he would change his mind as well.
And why do we see candidates that really appear to have no real chance of getting the candidacy stick around in the race while others, you know, seem to drop out a bit early? Are they hoping for a cabinet position of some sort?
I think it's a variety of reasons. So, you know, Ron Paul stayed in for most of the campaign last time and will again this time, presumably, because, you know, he has strong convictions and a bunch of supporters who want the libertarian perspective to be integrated more into the Republican Party. He wants to have a say in, you know, state political parties, national platform, potentially play a role in helping to select the nominee were it to come to that. So there's sort of a variety of reasons. I think most people stay in if they think there's some outside shot that they might win the nomination. And so usually when candidates are mathematically eliminated or it looks insurmountable, they end up dropping out.
Well, Ron Paul is very likely not going to win the nomination, but he is favored to win next Tuesday's caucuses in Iowa. Matt Grossman, MSU Assistant Professor of Political Science and Director of the Michigan Policy Network. Matt, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.